Massimiliano Gioni, Artistic Director.
On the third floor, the exhibition focuses mostly on Albert Tollens' abstract works, and he traces a history from the late 1980s until today. The entire exhibition, Home and Garden, is thought of less as a chronological display of works and more as a series of contrast and a juxtaposition between different periods in the career of Albert Tollens. This synchronic view is also very much a part of the way in which Albert Tollens approaches his paintings. One could say that in his paintings, everything seems to happen at once, and there is a similar effect that we wanted to capture in the display and in the actual installation of the exhibition, a sort of surcharge of information and a synchronic view of different time periods. Nevertheless, as you step and walk around on the third floor, you'll encounter some of Tollens' early abstract paintings that date from the late 1980s. Albert started painting figurative works and works they were quite tough and expressionistic, often almost naive in their simplicity, but it was always very clear to say that this simplicity and this expressionism was itself a form of parody, or anyway a form of painting by ventriloquism, almost as though he was forcing himself to paint through the history of painting and through the genres of painting. But starting from the late 80s, Erlen consciously decided to set aside some of his most brutal figurative works, of which we have a few examples on these floors, particularly with the two beautiful or horrible self-portraits from the early 80s. And he decided to set aside the more traditional, so to speak, figurative works and concentrate on a series of abstract paintings. Actually, he liked to call this series of works, which you find in the wall directly opposite of the elevator, he liked to call these works post-non-objective paintings. So less abstract and more non-objective or non-traditionally figurative. But as always, Erlen is quite restless when it comes to definitions and when it comes to rules, and so in fact even within these non-objective paintings you'll find fragments of figurations, an eye, a mask, you'll find traces of recognizable images that intersect with more abstract patterns. These are paintings that are quite complex in their layering of images, and they clearly also entertain more than one dialogue with the tradition of expressionist painting and the tradition of surrealism, but they are also pushed in different directions. It's important also to know that what seems like improvised gestures and kind of abrupto movements is often actually painted very carefully. So the impression of immediacy is sometimes actually simulated and acquired through a slow process of painting.
Massimiliano Gioni, Artistic Director.
It's also important to know that some of the colors that emerge onto the surface of this painting, mostly the blue and the yellows, those are rules in a way that Albert Tollens imposed on himself. Tollens think of his paintings as musicians think of their music. So often he approaches the canvas with a set of rules or a set of standards that he imposes on himself. And so often the use of certain colors is a deliberate choice that he imposes on himself almost as an obstacle that needs to be overcome. This attitude, this idea of painting under certain conditions that are almost extreme and that force you to find creative solutions to paint yourself out of a corner, this attitude is most apparent in two paintings on these floors, which belong to a series of gray paintings that Erlen has gone back to paint over and over again throughout the years. We have two wonderful examples on this floor. One is called Bad and the other is called Interior. So these are two paintings that play again also with the history of art and with the history of interior painting, which dates back obviously to the time of to the 16th century and even earlier to Flemish painting. In this case, though, Albert Uhlen imposes himself a very strict rule, and that is not to use any color and just to paint gray. Uhlen has declared that these are sort of fasting exercises, so that he imposes himself to work only in one color, so that when eventually he allows himself again the privilege of using other colors, he feels much freer to play with different associations of colors, with playing even with louder contrast. So in a way, these self-discipline gray paintings are also an instrument to force himself to rediscover painting all over again when he allows himself the luxury of using color again.
Massimiliano Gioni, artistic director.
Another group of paintings that dominates this floor and which are also almost monochromatic paintings is a series of works that Albert Uhlen has often referred to as his computer paintings. These are the large gray, black and white canvases that you see on the side walls of the third floor. These are incredibly complex paintings in spite of their immediacy, and they're paintings that anticipate many of today's artists' interest in technology. Albert Uhlen started making these computer paintings in the early 90s. He bought a Texas Instrument laptop, one of these sort of dinosaurs of computers by today's standards, and he started working with a very, very simple drawing software on his Texas Instrument. You have to remember, and to our youngest public, this will sound like the cave age of computers, but you have to remember that the resolution of computers back then was quite crude, and so drawing software always resulted, drawing on a computer always resulted on very pixelated images, and a straight line actually broke down in a series of pixels, in a series of little squares. So these paintings were first designed on a computer, and there was also already a kind of paradox, no? The expressionist gesture, the free-flowing movement of the artist was actually mediated by the mouse and mediated by a computer. Then the drawing, which looked also almost automatic, almost improvised, was saved, was printed, and then translated into a silk screen and silk screen onto a canvas. Nowadays it's quite common for artists and for painters, and one could mention artists like Wade Guyton, like Urs Fischer, like Laura Owens, and many others who realize their paintings by going through a process of layering of images. So first silk screen, then painting, then maybe again silk screen, and then freehand, and so on and so forth. This layering of images and this layering of techniques was very much, if not invented, certainly made his own by Albert Uhlen very, very early on. So the process after the silk screen, Albert Uhlen would start painting freehand onto the canvas, but would do so by following some of the suggestions of forms that were traced by the machine itself. So this dialogue between the free-flowing energy that we stereotypically expect from the abstract artist, and on the other hand, the control of the machine makes these paintings quite complex, and also probably some of the best depictions of the relationship of the individual with technology at the end of the 20th century and at the beginning of the 21st century. These are, in a way, these paintings are themselves machines in which technology and biology are constantly reconfigured and recombined. Olin himself speaks about these paintings as bionic paintings, and obviously he does so with the typical irony that distinguishes work. Actually, I'm not even sure if irony is the right term to describe the attitude of Olin towards painting. Very much his is a painting of complexity in which contradicting sensibilities are constantly displayed. So on one hand, there is an ironic attitude towards painting. On the other, he's probably the most sincere painter I know, and a painter that constantly returns to the act of painting and does so with a great faith in the possibilities of paintings, and yet with an ultimate acceptance of its limits. And the computer paintings make this dialectical tension quite apparent.
Massimiliano Gioni, artistic director.
The computer paintings were realized in two successive outbursts of creativity, let's say in the 90s and then again at the beginning of the 21st century, and have then almost naturally or artificially led to another group of paintings which are often referred to as finger paintings or advertisement paintings, of which we have two very large examples on this floor. These paintings have been often read also in relationship to contemporary technology, and particularly in relationship to digital technology and information technology. These are paintings that are actually born usually as collages. In the background, Erlen pastes large found images that come from commercial advertisement, mostly for advertisement of the cheap kind, the ones that it's usually for coupon, for supermarkets, or for large billboards advertising some 99-cent sale. So those are, in a way, the most vulgar manifestations of our current visual culture, which Erlen appropriates and lays onto large white canvases. The whiteness of the canvas immediately resembles the whiteness of our computer screens, onto which different windows of images are overlaid. And then on top of this contrasting information, Albert Olin intervenes with a series of gestural moves that are mostly painted with his fingers and his hands. So on one hand, he immediately again connects to the tradition of the expressionist artist, and particularly with the tradition of abstract expressionism more earlier on, even with the work of the surrealist, the automatic drawing and the kind of understanding of painting as a form of access to the subconscious. And on the other, he integrates this brutal, confessional almost gestuality with the ultimate form of artificiality, and that is the computer screen and advertisement, or in general the kind of over information that seems to dominate the urban landscape and the landscape of our computers. So in this contrast, Olin once again shows us a dialectic confrontation between the human and the artificial, between the visceral, technological, and it is within this tension, I think, that his work proves its importance in contemporary debates about painting, and more generally, its importance in helping us understand our place as individuals within a visual culture that is dominated by images, and images that are often quite cheap, quite vulgar, quite intense.
Massimiliano Gioni, artistic director.
Dotting this floor are also a series of Albert Olin self-portraits, two of his early legendary 1980s self-portraits, a self-portrait as a Dutch woman and self-portrait with a vase, or self-portrait as a Potter. Those are two paintings from the early 80s in which Erlen plays with the stereotypes and the heroic representation of the painter, mostly male, mostly macho, which he critically attacks from within. On one hand, obviously, these paintings do celebrate the painter as the sole protagonist of his own world and of his own play. On the other hand, they depict the artist as a almost impotent idiot. And it is really from this series of paintings that one can trace the entire trajectory of Olen's career as a kind of a fight with painting itself and with the role of the artist himself. And nowhere else is more apparent this love and hate relationship for his own work.
Massimiliano Gioni, artistic director.
Untitled installation from 2005, which is often referred to as Bedroom, which is displayed in an alcove on the third floor, which presents a little bedroom, a sort of bohemian stereotype of the artist's house as a hideout. And in this bohemian bedroom, which also resembles a sort of sad IKEA diorama, Albert Olen depicts himself in bed, painting his own image as a sort of onanistic, narcissistic exercise. And he paints himself with his mouth open, again, in a strange image of surrender. And I think this is, again, one of the most, one of the saddest and most endearing representation of what being an artist must feel like, with all its narcissistic impulses and also the apparent impotence of just being able to look at oneself in all its weakness.
Massimiliano Gioni, artistic director.
Albert Erlen House and Garden is Albert Erlen's first New York museum survey. It is such quite an important occasion to assess the influence of Albert Erlen, an artist who has managed to be at the same time rather obscure and incredibly present and influential on the work of many contemporary painters. Albert Erlen was born in 1954 in Krefeld in Germany, and was educated and studied art in Germany, and emerged as a painter at the beginning of the 1980s. He was part of a loose group of painters and friends who included the legendary Martin Kippenberger, Werner Büttner, Georg Herold, and more broadly, his work was a part of a return to painting that distinguished the art of the beginning of the 80s. Early on, though, Albert Erlen distinguished himself because his approach to painting was both enthusiastic and extremely critical. He started in the early 1980s by painting dinosaurs. He said that he was painting dinosaurs because painting itself as a practice was as old as the mountains, and so he wanted to paint something even older than painting. And that's how a series of very strange, ironic paintings of dinosaur emerged at the beginning of the 80s. And from that moment on, Erlen went through pretty much any genre in the history of paintings, from still life to self-portrait to abstraction to interior paintings. This exhibition is a very narrow zoom into a production that would probably take three or four museums the size of the new museum to be accommodated in full. Right from the beginning, and right from his early self-portraits and his dinosaurs paintings, one could see in the work of Albert Erlen a confrontational attitude towards painting, a sort of love and hate relationship towards painting that runs through his career. He has often said that he took on painting pretty much as musicians took on guitars and drum sets in the years of punk music. So he took on painting because it was the most basic medium and the in a way the most brutal medium with which to express himself. But just as a punk musician, he went through painting, expressing an almost a refusal or a criticism of the very act of painting. This exhibition particularly focuses on abstraction within the work of Albert Olen, but Albert Olen has often almost schizophrenic attitude towards distinctions of style and distinction of abstraction and figuration. So as you go through the exhibition, you'll see that abstract paintings betray traces of figuration and figurative paintings become progressively more abstract. This exhibition focuses on Albert Olen's abstraction, but Olen always had an almost schizophrenic attitude towards any distinction of style and genre, and he has almost refused systematically to distinguish the figurative from the abstract. So as you go through the exhibition, you'll see that abstract paintings often hide the figurative images, and vice versa, figurative works can be read from an abstract perspective. We felt this was one of the most interesting contributions of Albert Olen's to the contemporary debate around painting, and most importantly, this exhibition is selected and focused in such a way to reveal Olen's impact on many artists active today. In particular, Olen's use of technology and digital technology is at the center of this exhibition, and that's where Olen's work prove quite timely, as many younger artists are trying to come to terms with the surplus of information and of visual stimulation that distinguish the digital age. Massimiliano Gioni, Artistic Director. On the fourth floor, the exhibition opens on one of the most hysterical paintings in this show. Titled Self-Portrait as Spring, this large diorama captures Albert Olen immersed in a strange garden. This is one of his most recent self-portraits. Throughout his career, since the early 80s, Olen has returned over and over again to the motif, to the genre of the self-portrait, and has done so depicting himself almost always as an impotent individual, displaying all his weaknesses and almost working against traditional role models of the artist as a heroic individual. In this case, the painting is also quite complex in its own technical realization, as he combines oil painting and acrylic and wallpaper and photograph. It's a piece that is created through a series of layerings of images, which is very much one of Olen's signature styles. Actually, talking about style or coherency when it comes to Albert Olen's career is quite tricky, because if anything, Olen is been testing the limits of genres, the limits of coherency, and has produced a body of work that is quite maddening in its diversity. And you can see this very much on this floor, where Self-Portrait as a Fountain is put in dialogue with a series of works realized between the end of the 90s and the first years of 2001 and 2002. These are probably Albert Olen's loudest paintings and largest paintings, and in a certain sense some of his most spectacular works. Again, from a technical point of view, they are completely intricate and complex machines. These are not just paintings, but they are paintings that incorporate silkscreen, that incorporate found imagery. They are usually realized through a process of digital drawing through scanning and Photoshop of images, which are then silkscreen on large canvases or large wood supports. Onto these images, then Albert Olen starts painting, and start painting on one hand using a whole series of references to expressionist paintings, on the other hand cooling down the fury of expressionist gestures. gestures and treating what is traditionally result of a gestuality that is improvised, that is free, turning into a much slower process of painting. The result is a strange combination of the visceral and the mechanic of the artificial and the natural, to which the title of the exhibition, Home and Garden, also refers to. These paintings are, to me, one of the most striking representation of that surplus of information which I think we are used to today. I think of these paintings as sort of machines or giant computer screens on which different layers of images and explosion of information happen. You can see particularly in works like More, Fire and Ice or DJ Techno how Albert Olen plays with the idea of coexistence of different layers of images, different sounds in a way, and different colors. Albert Olen has often spoken about how his work is almost a struggle against painting, a questioning of painting in which the artist almost pushes himself to work against his will, to work against all the genre of painting. And the result are these works that are extremely complex, extremely charged with information, with references to the history of art. They are paintings that at first seem simply impossible, or as Albert Olen himself describes them, they seem awful, they seem bad paintings, but within this explosion of forms, they seem to find a precarious balance. Dietrichsen, who is a German critic who has written and spoken about Albert Olen's work over and over again, he says that these works, as many other Olen's work, they seem to be engaged with the challenge of finding a form at the very, very, very logic terminus of the formless. So it's about finding a form that still works when in a painting nothing seems to work anymore, and we seem to witness a complete dissolution of the painting in front of our eyes, and yet the artist almost capture a trembling balance which makes them somehow classical paintings in spite of their madness.